Well, it's a great day in Auckland to play a little bit of Joe Cocker, and that's Respect Yourself with some great messages about respecting yourself and others. I'm host Sheldon Brown with technician Declan Curran, and this is Mental Health Radio. Take it from us, brought to you and funded by Framework Trust. And Declan and I went to this movie that has been grabbing the headlines at the New Zealand International Film Festival, Maui's Hook. It's a new film by Maori psychologist and filmmaker Paora Joseph. Quite thought-provoking. Very much shows the grief which occurs from suicide, and I think a must watch if you're working in mental health. Well, today we interview what I believe to be the first mother and daughter duo that I've certainly had on Mental Health Radio. Daughter Laura, who is 18, and mum Tori have established Fighting the Mind to raise awareness of eating disorders throughout New Zealand and possibly in the future beyond New Zealand. Its establishment coincides with Laura's life-threatening episode of anorexia, which resulted in her being admitted to Starship Hospital, and there was a risk there during her stay of heart failure and losing her fight against her eating disorder. Laura is fortunately on her road to recovery, though progress is perhaps somewhat tenuous at times, and it is a day-to-day challenge. Mum Tori has had her own challenges with anxiety and emotional abuse. So, Laura, Tori, welcome to Take It From Us. Laura's a little bit nervous about this interview, but how are you feeling right now, Laura?
Very nervous.
Very nervous. You could take a deep breath and just imagine that we're in that cafe last Tuesday where you were quite confident about talking about eating disorders. Does it make it a little different to be in a radio studio?
Yeah, way different.
Does it? Way different. Well, let's talk a little bit about Fighting the Mind, which has been established to provide eating disorder awareness and recovery support. Why have you set this up, Tori?
Well, basically, when we were first going through Laura's illness, when we first found out she was suffering from anorexia, we found things very difficult, and we found that there was a lack of support. We actually isolated ourselves quite a lot. Now, after her first admission, we found that we still didn't have that support that we needed. So after Laura's second admission, it was actually during her hospital stay, I literally started Fighting the Mind in her hospital bed in the hope that I'd be able to spread some form of awareness by telling my story and also sharing Laura's story as well. So pretty much it was a way of helping me and helping Laura, but also we were in the hope that it would help others out there as well to sort of raise that awareness.
Because there is a degree of stigma and discrimination, just as there is with mental health, but there is with eating disorders, and even the word anorexia is a bit scary, isn't it?
Most definitely. You're so right with that one. Obviously, when we first found out that Laura was suffering from anorexia, even I wasn't as aware of eating disorders as I should have been, so I did a lot of research on it, and my family, I felt too, was sort of really undereducated in that area, hence why we sort of backed off and we isolated ourselves. But I found the more that we spoke to people about it and about what was going on with Laura, they were educating themselves as well. And I also find because of this, people find it really difficult to talk about it, and they kind of feel ashamed because of the fact that eating disorders actually change your life completely, you know. They completely turn your life around. For me, it was a case of I had to give up work, I had to seek financial assistance from the government, and we had to look at all other options of how we were going to sort of live. And I feel like there's a real stigma to attach to that, because eating disorders don't discriminate. So it can happen to any family, it can happen to anyone, and so for me it's definitely something that needs to be spoken about a lot more.
Right. Well, Laura, when did this eating disorder first sort of emerge?
It started a few years ago when I decided to go vegan, but it went pretty well at first. Like, I ate and I wasn't scared of stuff that I ate, but eventually I started to obsess over it, and I would start cutting out foods that I thought were bad, and I would restrict completely, pretty much only drink water and coffee, and then I would start exercising.
So vegan is without meat, I understand. Is it without meat?
Without meat and dairy.
And dairy. So was this the sort of start of you discriminating about certain foods and not eating some foods?
Well, yeah. Like, I'm not saying that being vegan is bad, but for me it kind of triggered the whole anorexia thing.
Right. So when did you have your first hospital admission?
What date was it?
August, September last year.
Yeah, August.
And where did you go to hospital?
Starship Children's Hospital.
So they are a specialist in eating disorders, or they're just the hospital you go to if you're under 18?
No, they do have a special...
Any disorder clinic.
Right.
So that gave you the opportunity to meet other people that were experiencing eating disorders?
Not so much in the first admission. I isolated myself quite a bit. But in the second admission, yeah, I did meet a lot of people.
And that second admission was earlier this year, about February?
Yeah.
Right. And that's when... your health was under threat?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was happening for you at that time?
Health-wise, I was having heart palpitations, and my heart rate was down to about 40 beats a minute, and I was extremely dehydrated. My electrolytes were imbalanced, and I was iron deficient, and yeah, I was extremely weak. And
so that was all the result of not eating and not looking after yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And what's behind that? What caused you to get in such a state?
Because growing up, I was quite a chubby kid, and I was bullied a lot at school, and I was picked on and stuff like that because I was chubby, and so I thought that was like the only way to make myself feel better was to lose the weight and get skinny, pretty much, yeah.
So it sounds as though it was pressure from your peers at school. They were pretty unkind to you in terms of what you describe as your chubbiness.
Yeah. And another part of it was moving around. I changed schools a lot, so I never really had any friends, and after my mum and dad broke up, everything was pretty unstable. So I felt like I'd lost control.
So did that happen over a long period of time or quite quickly?
It did. It took a while to actually turn into anorexia, yeah.
I mean, were there any other associated sort of mental, what you'd call mental health, anxiety or depression?
I've suffered from social anxiety and low self-esteem ever since I can remember, pretty much, and that obviously didn't help when it came to everything else.
So how does it feel to be able to speak on a radio show like Take It From Us when you have those social anxiety issues?
I mean, it's really good, but I still am. I'm like... so nervous.
Really? The palpitations are coming back? I get them sometimes when I'm in the studio as well, but then I've probably got a reason at my age. But thank you very much for sharing that part of your story. I mean, what impact has it had on you as a mother, Tori?
Quite a huge impact, actually, because of the fact that when Laura was so sick, she didn't actually believe that she was sick. So any help that I did try and get for her, she would either try and refuse, or she would make some excuse up. And when it came down to, you know, me sort of asking her if she stood, was she getting dizzy, how was her heart, and she'd say, "I'm fine, I'm fine."
That response from a teenager is often a bit frustrating,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. So for us to actually, and for me to actually get her that help was really difficult to begin with, let alone the fact that she had been through so much in the last 7 or 8 years of her life, which started at 10 with she was bullied at primary school, and that's when her issues did start, and obviously then she went through me and her dad breaking up. And then after that, that's when I sort of really noticed the anxiety with her, and then we had the moving around. So it has been pretty tough because it's only really ever been just me and Laura, so, and hence why our relationship is so strong. So for her to be that sick and for me to feel so helpless was really difficult. The thing is, though, I was prepared to do anything to save my girl. Mm. So in that respect, I just... like I said to Lou, if she didn't want to fight, I would fight for her.
I mean, I guess the reality is that, Laura, you have to want to live, don't you? You have to want to be healthy. And, you know, there's this saying that we are the expert on our own health, and we're personally responsible for how we are. But it's lovely to see that your mother is so supportive. I mean, how has that helped in your journey to get back on top?
She's helped me a lot with, like, reconnecting with my family and my friends, and just giving me so much support, like, so much. It's, like, unbelievable. She never worries about herself most of the time. She's always worrying about me. And like, she's put in so much effort to making our house feel like a home and setting it up, and it's really nice.
You're going to make me cry, Lou.
Well, we better take a music break. not that we're against crying here or emotions. I think they are both very good for our mental health. But anyway, Declan, what have you got in terms of music today?
Well, I was just going to say what you said before. It comes under the unconditional love, I think. The track I've got today, it's an empowering self-love anthem, and it debuted this artist's performance on September the 28th, 2015 in Las Vegas. The standards that we have, this is what she says here, is the standards that we have to kind of face as young women in everyday life just to feel or look a certain way or act a certain way, because there's a lot of pressure being a young girl and just girls and women in general. So she wanted to make a reminder to just love yourself and appreciate yourself no matter what. And the song, of course, is Scars to Your Beautiful. It's by Alicia, I think, or Elisa Cara. And you're listening to Take It From Us, Mental Health Radio on 104.6 Planet FM, broadcasting here every Tuesday from 12:30.
She just wants to be beautiful. She goes unnoticed. She knows no limits. She craves attention. She praises an image. She prays to be sculpted by the sculptor. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining deeper than the eyes can find it. Maybe we're made of blind souls. She tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away, 'cause cover girls don't cry after the face is made. But there's a hope that's waiting for
shines within. There's a hope that's waiting for you in the dark. You should know you're beautiful just the way you are. And you don't have to change a thing. The world could change its heart. No scars, see you're beautiful. We stars and we're beautiful.
With Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And we're talking today on Mental Health Radio to our first mother and daughter duo, Laura, who is 18, and mum, Tori, and we're talking about the establishment of their charity, Fighting the Mind, which is to provide eating disorder awareness and recovery support. In Declan's introduction, Laura, he mentioned about loving yourself. How are you on the loving yourself scale?
I find it very hard to love myself. I really do. Like, I want to. Like, more than anything, I would love to love myself, but it's really hard to, like, get out of the mind frame of hating myself. Like, I've tried for years, but I'm slowly getting there, though, which is good.
What sort of support have you had in terms of the idea of loving yourself?
Well, my friends and my family have given me an unbelievable amount of support, and I've got my mum, my brothers, and even their partners always telling me that I'm beautiful and, you know, stuff like that, and it has really helped.
Yeah, I mean, one of the downsides of mental illness is that it's not really seen, is it?
No, no.
And, you know, you look a bright, attractive young 18-year-old. And,
attractive.
Beautiful, yeah.
You know, but you're sort of hiding, I suppose, well, not in some ways, hiding the disorder.
Yeah, because on Fighting the Mind, I want to stay strong and help support as many people as I can, but I'm not on there a lot because sometimes it gets too much, because I still struggle immensely with my eating disorder. Some days it's just I don't even feel like I could do it. It's like on the outside I try to look brave and happy, but it does get really exhausting. Mm.
So when you get to the end of a day, maybe you've been on Facebook on Fighting the Mind and trying to mentor people and help people. I mean, how do you feel at the end of a day?
That's actually, Mum can back me up. That's when I get the most moody. She's had to deal with me a lot.
Well, when you get tired at the end of the day.
Yeah.
That's when we kind of have to go through the process, because that's when Laura gets tired, the anxiety sets in and the anorexia voice becomes quite loud. So that's when I sort of have to deal with that in a way where I settle her back down, because the idea of sleep to her then is not something she wants to do, because the anorexia voice is so loud and telling her not to sleep. So we just have to sort of work through that, and I have to speak to her, not the illness. I completely ignore the illness when it is there, and I make sure that Laura comes back out. And we get Laura back out, and even if it means I have to lie with her and stroke her head, the fact that she is 18 and still needs that, sometimes to me it's the fact she suffers from a mental illness, and if her head needs stroking to get her to sleep when she is feeling at her lowest, I'll do it. So,
yeah, so you talk about, Laura, a voice, your anorexic voice. What does that anorexic voice say to you?
Well, it's not really a voice. It's more like really loud, uncontrollable thoughts. That's the only way I can put it. But it always says, like, even when I'm going to lie down to go to bed, it tells me to not lie down because I'm being lazy for going to sleep. And eating food, it says I can't eat that because if I eat that, it'll make me fat. Even though there's no way, like, I know, but it's just, it's constant, like, anything with this, like, my big thing is carbs, so I'm scared of breads, pastas, potatoes, rice, all that. And yeah, every time I think about eating it, the voice is like, you can't eat that because it'll make you fat, you can't eat that.
But the reality is that it's not going to make you fat in moderation.
In moderation, no.
No, right. So, I mean, is the recognition of this disorder in the communities, I mean, do people know that anorexia is a mental illness?
I'm not sure, sorry. I think that some do, but the majority don't, to be quite honest. And I think there's a lot of people that are quite unaware of the impact that anorexia has. Anorexia has the highest mortality rate among all mental illnesses, and eating disorders can prove fatal. So, and also as far as the mental illness goes, they are definitely a mental illness, and I think a lot of people, because they associate with eating disorders with just that, eating. I think people think that with an eating disorder, it's just a matter of eating, you'll be fine. You know, so I think there's still a lot of stigma surrounding that, most definitely.
And a lot of obstacles, as Laura is saying, in terms of accepting the carbohydrates or some of the foods where your thoughts are saying that these are going to make you fat, they're going to make you chubby.
Yeah,
definitely. And even with her food, not so much now, still maybe sometimes now, but someone that is suffering from an eating disorder, Laura, for example, with her anorexia, she doesn't see it as food. She sees objects on her plate. So for her, being told for months and months and months and months and months that food's her medicine, that's a saying she really sort of did not like at all, because she would just see these blobs of objects on her plate that she just did not want to put in her mouth.
Well, the whole idea of food being medicine, I mean, we none of us like taking medicine, do we?
Exactly, exactly. So,
do you like taking medicine, Laura?
No.
No, I don't like taking medicine, but, you know, the specialists and health professionals tell me with my history that I have to take it. And, you know, I react about that, really, because I do believe that there are other things that I'm doing, like mindfulness and Tai Chi and meditation, and those, I think, they're wonderful natural therapies that I've adopted anyway.
Definitely.
Yeah. This discrimination against eating disorders, what does that stem from, do you think?
Again, I think it boils down to the fact that I think people think that eating disorders are just cured just by eating. You know, because like you say, yeah, Laura looks perfectly fine on the outside. You know, like if she was walking down the street, you wouldn't really, I mean, she's still tiny, yes, but, you know, she looks like a healthy, young, beautiful girl that's still very sick and still suffers from her anorexia quite severely. So, again, I think it is the fact that it is an invisible illness, and that people assume that food is going to fix it, just like that,
right.
You know.
So it's almost like, well, why can't somebody with anorexia just eat?
Exactly.
And the issue will be over.
It's like being in an abusive relationship. Why can't that person just leave?
Right.
You know, so, and we've often talked about how, you know, you compare illnesses to a very bad relationship, you know. So, and it's the same thing with Laura. She can't just shut those thoughts off. She can't just eat. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's one of those difficult things again. Yeah, people don't see it, so it can be fixed with food.
I mean, those children that you were at school with who, when you were slightly heavier and branded you as chubby, I mean, do you think that's still having, that message is still having an effect on you?
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Her bullying has had a huge effect on her.
Yeah, can I just jump in there and say I found when I was at school getting a lot of bullying and that sort of thing, and the way I could describe it one time to you some years back is it's almost as if it does imprints on you as you go through life, and I likened it to scouring your life being a CD and basically taking a big nail and just scouring across that CD.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with processing of that. The other thing I was just going to throw in too is a lot of times I hear people saying, oh, I'm bipolar or I'm schizophrenia, and I say, no, you're Murray and you've got bipolar or schizophrenia, because otherwise they start to identify as being that actual condition.
Yes, absolutely. We always say that with Laura too. Laura has her anorexia. We call it her anorexia because it's not who she is, you know, and I see, you actually see Laura change when anorexia is present. That's not Laura. Her face just closes down, her eyes shut down, they glaze over, and she just stares at the wall, and that's when you know that it's not Laura anymore. So we just try and get Laura back.
So that lines up with other mental illnesses, I suppose, when people are very deeply depressed or they shut off because of their anxiety or their psychosis or whatever. So, I mean, I guess that's where there's a link between anorexia and those more commonly identified mental health issues like psychosis and schizophrenia, bipolar, depression, you know.
Most definitely. And I think because of Laura's underlying struggle with social anxiety, not only does she suffer from that, she suffered from self-harm as well, which you'll notice today. She wears a skirt all the time, and she's always got her scars on her thighs showing because she's proud of them. That's what she's survived through. But all of this has stemmed from back to the bullying days, but right through, and now the anorexia has become a part of it as well. So I fully believe that the underlying conditions create the eating disorder.
That's actually quite a common thing too, what you were saying about the scarring and that. It's quite common for that to happen. So
definitely, yep. Self-harm, yep. With mental illness is a very, it's yep. That urge that you get, isn't it? It's, you know, yep. It makes you feel better, it makes you feel good, and sort of did to Lou.
But I use that little analogy as well. You know, when I talk about the little frog on the lily pad, and rather than looking at dealing with the negative, try and finding that positive, like the frog's trying to find that next lily pad to jump onto.
Yeah. Or he's waiting there, waiting there for the fly on that particular lily pad.
Well, I was just thinking, based on the Prime program I just watched on the seasons, probably waiting to be gobbled up by some humongous beast.
Some vultures flying down.
Well, they were on there too. They said they got blooming wingspans and something like 6 feet, six or 7 feet tall. I thought, good grief.
Let's keep you up off the lily pad, Declan.
Well, I'm certainly not going into the desert anyway.
There's no lily pads in the desert.
Oh, no, indeed.
Well, let's take a music break. What have you got for us, Declan?
On that cheery note. Well, the track I've got for you now, the lead singer Jason Wade said that while the song has a specific inspiration, the interpretation can vary. And I quote him saying, that song, I feel, has gotten a lot of people through some hard times. And if you haven't guessed what it is by now, it's Broken from Lighthouse. You're listening to Mental Health Radio 104.6 Planet FM, broadcasting to you right here at 12:30 every Tuesday. Once again, here's Broken from Lighthouse.
The broken clock is a comfort. It helps me sleep tonight. Maybe it can't stop tomorrow from
stealing all my time, and I am here still waiting, though I still have my doubts. I am damaged at best, like you've already figured out. I'm falling apart, I'm barely breathing, with a broken heart that's still beating in the pain. There is healing in your name. I find meaning, so I'm holding on. I'm holding on. Broken locks were a warning. You got inside my head. I tried my best to be guarded. I'm an open book instead. And I still see your reflection inside of my eyes. They're looking for purpose. They're still looking for light. I'm falling apart. With a broken heart that's still beating in the pain. Is there healing in your name? I find meaning, so I'm holding on, I'm still holding. Broken lights on the freeway left me here alone. I may have lost my way now, haven't forgotten my way home. I'm falling apart, I'm barely breathing, with a broken heart that's still beating. There is healing in your name. I find meaning, so I'm holding on, I'm still holding. I'm holding on, I'm still holding. I'm holding on, I'm still holding. Barely holding on to you.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And we're talking today to Laura and Mum Tori about eating disorders and the setting up of Fighting the Mind, which is a charity that Tori is in the throes of setting up. But in the music break, Laura, you said that one of your favourite songs is Pink's Perfect.
Yeah, I relate to it a lot.
In terms of perfection?
Yes.
So perfection is a bit of a dangerous goal in mental health, I think.
Yeah, because when I was in the throes of anorexia, I would always compare myself to other anorexic girls or boys, and I would think, oh, they're so skinny. I'm not as skinny as them, and that would just motivate me to lose more weight and get that perfect body that I wanted.
So the thinner you are, the more perfect your body is?
Well, yeah, when you're in that mind frame, yeah, the thinner you are, the prettier you look, yeah, pretty much.
You even looked at girls and boys that were normal size. Well, I don't want to say normal because I don't believe in there is a normal, but you also looked at other people, and you also believed that you were not as small as them when in fact you were probably half their size. Yeah. So your mind was really distorted as far as your own sort of body shape was determined.
Yeah.
So Mum has said that, eating disorders, there's the highest rate of mortality. Is that death by just not eating, or is it death by taking your life?
Some people do commit suicide, and some just don't eat. But with anorexia, you don't know that you're sick because you don't feel it. Mm. And you think you're fine. You don't think you're sick. You think, yeah, you're healthy and you can keep going.
But even when when you were admitted, you've been admitted, I think, twice to hospital. When we go to hospital, doesn't that convince us that we're sick?
No, not even me. I would I would compare myself to the other girls in there and think, they're skinnier than me. Why am I here? I thought I was fine.
Right. The night she was admitted, the night we went into hospital waiting to be admitted, she refused anything. She was going to rip her drip out and she wanted to go home. She said, I'm fine. I don't even know why I'm here. The doctors are just going to send me home anyway. Mm. Anyway, the next morning she was admitted, and that was a Friday. We'd been there overnight in emergency. The next morning she was admitted, and then she said to me, oh, I'll be out by Monday anyway because I would have put on all the weight and I'll be better.
Right.
So she was adamant that home on Monday. Yeah, so no, she didn't realise she was that sick.
So, I mean, if there's a high mortality rate, then obviously there's a huge threat from anorexia to your health and to the health of many people who are experiencing it. Is that something you're aware of?
Yeah. I knew it. I knew how sick I was, but I just refused to believe it. Like, you're in denial. Like, you know you're sick, but you don't believe it.
So denial isn't a great sort of foundation stone to get well from, is it?
No.
And it's not only just the eating disorder itself. It's the long-term effects as well, such as osteoporosis from weakened bones and rotting teeth. Laura's already had 8 cavities in the back of four front teeth, from 8 cavities from the eating disorder. The fact that she could be infertile, we don't know that yet, because obviously they lose their period. So there's a lot of long-term effects that arise that you don't actually know until probably 10 years down the track after you've recovered from this eating disorder, that can actually prevent you from living a full life. So yeah.
So do these things, when you hear Mum talking about this, does that register?
It registers more than it used to, but still in my mind I'm like, nah, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen?
No.
I mean, I've just been through a bit of a cancer scare, and I suppose that makes me appreciate that I need to moderate my anxiety. I need to reduce the sort of toxins in my body, do whatever I can, exercise, eat well, all of those things. Because, again, I'm personally responsible. I mean, I might be seeing surgeons or cancer specialists, but basically it's down to me. That's, I guess, my attitude. But it's taken me a long time to get to appreciate that, I suppose. Yeah. Yeah, well, bullying is something that I don't understand. Tori, have you got any insights into why bullying happens?
Honestly, it's something I just don't... I don't understand it either, because I don't understand how children or any children or adults can be so mean to another human being. I think what needs to happen is perhaps, I know that there's education going on in schools with that, but I don't think the education is as out there as it should be, because I don't think that children don't understand the repercussions that it has on other children, and adults sometimes don't have the repercussions, you know, understand the repercussions either. So,
well, I mean, that's one of my thoughts, that those bullies, they won't know the impact that their bullying has had on you, Laura.
No, I don't think they would.
Right.
I doubt they even remember me now.
Yeah, but obviously, would you say that the bullying was the single most significant factor in, you know, becoming anorexic and having to go through this challenge?
It was definitely part of it, yeah.
Mm.
A very huge factor.
Has there been any other bullying in your life since that school?
In high school, I wasn't bullied, but I was made fun of. And I never, because I moved around a lot, different high schools, and I never had any friends, so I was always a loner.
Mm.
And I'd always hear, like, kids whispering about me and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Know that only too well. I think my understanding of the bullying is that that person themselves is feeling that low and bad about themselves that it makes them feel better to be able to attack somebody else.
Exactly.
Verbally or physically or both.
Mm.
And then when you get people like your dean and your teachers saying stop telling tales and learn to mix in with your, and make friends and all this, and then you suddenly become the victim, and it's like, whoa, hang on. You know?
But that puts a lot of pressure on somebody. You describe yourself as a loner, probably because you were changing schools regularly and you didn't have the stability of making friends and being in a school for a long period of time. I mean, it's not fun. How did you feel recognizing that you were a loner?
It was awful. That's probably when a bit of my depression started, because I just felt so alone and so lonely. I had no one to talk to, and like, we were in Australia as well, so none of my family was there, so I had no one.
So, and that's at the time I was in a pretty bad relationship, so
yeah,
it was, everything was sort of a bit sort of up and down, and yeah.
Did you find the Australians a lot more? I found when I was living up in Cairns, they tended to be a lot more or less get yourself together, get on with it, sort of
hard-nosed
attitude.
Yeah.
Definitely. It was like, no time for pity, mate. We just, you know, like...
Harden up.
Great impression.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Yes. Well, you've... how has Fighting the Mind, the charity that you've set up, it was done in February, how's it grown, Tori?
Oh, look, it's taken off. More than we thought it would, hey Lou. And the thing is, look, all I really wanted from Fighting the Mind was to inspire others, spread hope and awareness, and really encourage others to speak out about their eating disorders. And not only just encouraging people that are suffering from the eating disorder, but the families that are caring for those with an eating disorder. For me, I think that's really important, that we have everyone who is directly impacted from the eating disorder to be able to have a voice. So hence why Laura and I are doing this together, because, you know, it's two different sides of it, but it impacts us both just as...
It actually reminds me of the medical profession, like an ambulance. In order for the ambulance crew to be able to help you, they need to have that training. And so the person that's there to support you and that needs the carer, it's caring for the carer, giving them the tools to understand what's needed to get both of you through, because essentially you need the support as well.
Definitely. And that's where I found, obviously my family's been my absolute rock, but I found through with Fighting the Mind, through sharing my story, I've been inspired by so many other people out there sharing their story with me. So and in actual fact, Fighting the Mind maybe seem to be helping so many out there, but it's also helping myself, and it's helping Laura as well. Mm. So we're all working together with this, you know.
So the Facebook page is Fighting the Mind .com or .co?
The website or the...
Facebook page.
The Facebook page. So it's just at Fighting the Mind. Yeah, so the symbol at Fighting the Mind.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've got a website as well?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's fightthemind.org.nz.
Right. So those are both places where you can get information about the work that Laura and Tori are doing. Well, the time is racing by. We've got another music break.
I was going to throw you a bit of Troy Sivan in there as well, but he'll have to wait for another day. This song here, the artist has said, "Put your empty hands in mine. Let me help you. Let me guide you. Let me show you and empower you and help you find your own voice and help you find your own strength." It felt like the perfect words to start the album with, is what she said. Her name is Rachel Platten. The song is Stand By You, and you're listening to Take It From Us Mental Health Radio on 104.6, broadcasting here every Tuesday. I nearly said every day then. Every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1:30.
Your empty hands in mine, and scars, show me all the scars you hide. And hey, if your wings are broken, please take mine so yours can open too, 'cause I'm gonna stand by you.
Take It From Us Community Notice Board.
Going to community notices. Declan has.
Hang on, I can pull out of that if you want to.
I can. Yeah, let's go back to our interview. Eh?
Yep, sounds good. Hang on one, and there you go.
Right, well, that song Declan talked in introducing that song about finding voice and finding strength. How important is that, Laura, do you think?
It's the most important thing. It is, yeah.
So it sounds as though you're finding your voice. You've certainly found your voice today. It started off feeling very nervous, but I've done a very authoritative job in explaining your own eating disorder.
Yeah, I'm trying my best.
Yeah, so and in terms of strength, I think, how do you feel about strength, gaining strength?
Really good. I feel in the last few months, I've definitely gained a huge amount of strength thanks to my family and my friends.
Right. She definitely wouldn't have met with you 3 months ago.
No way, I wouldn't.
Yeah. So when are you going to switch from the getting strength from the family to gaining strength yourself and sort of, I guess, maybe loving ourselves? That gives us a bit of strength.
I think I will be able to get strength for myself eventually, but it'll take a long time just because I spent so many years just drumming it into myself that I'm not good enough. So it's going to take a long time, but I do want to love myself.
Well, that sounds like a really wonderful goal. That maybe have you set that goal for yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tori, anything else you want to say about fighting the mind? I guess one of the things that I remarked to you about is that I'm a little sceptical about the whole idea of fighting our mental health, you know, fighting an eating disorder. Maybe I guess I've got to a point where I'd like to try and accept how I am. Accept that I might be a bit exhausted, look at why I'm exhausted, try and just accept if the depression comes back instead of creating some warfare around it.
You certainly got me thinking about that the other day when you asked me that question, and I reflected on that myself, and, you know, I sort of thought to myself, you know, yeah, why fighting the mind? Why did I call it that? I think because I've watched my daughter, Laura, battle her mind for so long, and it was a constant fight with the mind, and it is a constant fight with the mind. But I definitely agree with you in the sense that it can, you know, we are fighting the illness. We're not fighting our own mind. We're actually fighting the illness, and it's such a victory to get to that point, you know, where we don't have to fight our mind anymore.
Right.
And I'm a big believer in that, you know, like, so you're feeling something come on, if you're suffering from a mental illness, you roll with it, you know, because you're happy within yourself. I think you really need to truly find that happiness within yourself, and then can you stop fighting, you know, your mind, your demons, whatever, yeah.
That's like what I was saying before. I sometimes say when my friend overseas said, I don't feel normal anymore. And I said, well, you're still normal. Your normal has now shifted to somewhere else. And when you find that new normal, that happy place, you know that you're going to be okay. That's
you definitely
the new
do.
Normal.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Tori, just give us the Facebook page, which is...
Okay, so it's at Fighting the Mind. So this symbol at Fighting the Mind.
Right.
Yep, so,
and the website is...
Fight the Mind at Fight the Mind. .org.nz.
Okay, so that's where you can get additional information about Fighting the Mind, a campaign to, provide eating disorder awareness and recovery support. Let's go to our community notices.
Take it from us, Community Notice Board.
Now, I'd just like to remind listeners about our survey for Take It From Us. We've circulated that on a number of mental health Facebook pages. Maybe we can put it up on Fighting the Mind's Facebook page as well. So if you haven't received that survey or not seen it, if you could email me on sheldon.brown@framework.org.nz. We've also got a recovery and employment workshop or session coming up on the 13th of August between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. This is being run by Recovery International. If you want to learn how to create that ultimate CV or how to answer those difficult interview questions, go along to this session on the 13th of August, 9 to 12 at Level 3 Westfield Tower, Westfield Mall in Manukau.
And Equip are having their August network meeting on the 30th of August. It's a Thursday, 11:30 through to 1:30 p.m. It's at the Kauai Lounge, Windsor Park. So it's right behind KFC. Remember, lunch. You need to RSVP if you're going to be going there too. It's tiny. Our Voice, O-U-R-V-O-I-C-E, at Equip, EQUIP.net.nz. Or you can phone 09-477-0338.
Just give us that number again, Declan.
477-0338.
And we've mentioned that Declan and I went to a Sunday showing at the Academy Cinema of Maui's Hook, a new film by Maori psychologist and filmmaker Peora Joseph. This is a pretty thought-provoking Kiwi movie. It was part of the New Zealand International Film Festival and broaches a very serious and deeply affecting subject that is impacting so many New Zealand families, and that, of course, is suicide, and definitely showed the impact and despair that suicide had brought to the five families that were featured in Maui's Hook. We're unsure as to when it's going to screen again, but keep an eye out on the website of Maui's Hook, and I gather that it will be screened at different community venues around New Zealand.
And thank you.
You've got anything else?
I've got one more. I was going to say, too, thank you for the ice cream and for treating me to get in. I reckon we could have sold a bundle of snow techs in there. Yeah, good movie. Mental Health First Aid 2-day community workshop is coming up. Where and when? Saturday the 18th through to Saturday the 18th of August through to Sunday the 19th of August from 9 till 4. It's at the Lee Bank Primary School Community Centre, which is in Dr. Pickering Ave, Manurewa, and you can ring or text Anne Marie Higgins on 021 892 789, or you can email her at capital A for Anne, A-N-N, capital M for Marie, M-A-R-I-E dot Higgins, capital H, I-G-G-I-N-S, at middlemore.co.nz.
Boy, that was a bit of a handful. Just give us that email again.
Oh, here we go. All right. Each of their names has got a capital. So
no, just Anne, the one, I think.
AnneMarie.Higgins. She's got all three, you see. AnneMarie.Higgins at middlemore.co.nz, and just put a capital A in the Anne and the Marie and the dot and the Higgins.
Okay,
does that make sense?
I hope so. I thought I had something else here, but don't forget that survey that we are doing on Take It From Us. We've got to say goodbye, and thank you very much to Laura and to Tori for
thanks for having us.
Thank you very much for having us.
No worries. We can keep chatting for a few more seconds if you like.
You've got the theme music not quite coming through yet.
No, not quite. No.
We've got about 4 seconds before our theme music, which is Joe Cocker, of course, with his track Respect Yourself.
Have a good week. We'll see you next one.